And as you see, the title of our message is coming from basically Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, just the first few words. Then the Lord remembered Noah. And that, like, really perplexed me. Like, why did God forget him? I didn't think God forgot anything. But let's read through Genesis chapter 7, and we'll see maybe a little bit of why God remembered Noah, and more importantly, why God thought it was important for him to reveal this to Moses, who wrote this many, many years after this account, and have it put in Scripture and preserved for us. So we're back at Genesis, very first book of the Bible, by the way. Genesis chapter 7, 1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also, seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days I will cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah and his sons and his wives and his son wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth, and in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. This is subterranean waters. And the waters of the earth were opened. And it rained, and rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and their three wives of his sons were with him, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh which is in the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded it, and the Lord shut him in. And this is one of the little verses that we used oftentimes when we were looking for children Bible story books. How many times did Noah shut the door in children's books, or how many times did God shut the door on Noah's in the children's books? More often than not, it's God's. More often than not, man shut the door. So then we tell our kids there's something wrong with this story. See if you can find it. Anyway, moving on. I don't know why I said that. Verse 17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. Okay, this is important. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The water increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the water. First time in the boat. Kind of wondered what that experience was like. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly high on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heavens were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and everything, creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the earth, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Now, notice verse 24. Before you look at it, though, remember, how long was this water supposed to last for, as we read? 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, now notice verse 24. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Oh my goodness, God. What do you mean? Another 150 days? I thought it was 40 days, 40 nights. What's this 150 days? And then we get to chapter 8, verse 1. Then the Lord remembered Noah. So we're going to be looking at this a little bit as we sometimes get put into this middle of this 150 day period. But a beautiful story, and hopefully we can make some applications to our life.
This next song is a question that I...
All right. Go back to Genesis, if you will, please. Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we've got a very bad situation. As you read there in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And we've got the Nephilim there in verse 4, which is an interesting study. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were old, men of renown." Then we get to verse 5. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And again, that's quite a horrible situation. Every single thought, every single intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So we get verse 6. "God is then sorry, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart." And again, there's a real powerful lesson. We won't develop too much there, but your sin does affect God. As we have this corporal grieving of God's heart, there's no reason to think that individuals cannot grieve God's heart as well, as we know in the New Testament. So basically what happens is we go a little bit further and he sees Noah. Noah is a very upright man. And in verse 13 he says, "Okay, Noah, here's what I want you to do. In verse 14, I want you to build the ark. I want you to make it with gopher woods. I want you to make rooms in it. I want you to cover it with pitch." And in verses 15, 16, he gives you a little bit of idea of the nomenclature, the size, the dimensions, the windows, and all of that kind of stuff. And then in verse 17, he says, "I myself am bringing this flood waters, and we're going to have a catastrophic flood. It's going to destroy and kill everything. Everything that breathes oxygen is going to die." But in verse 18 he says, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. And then you're going to bring all these animals, two of every unclean, seven of clean animals." And then it's kind of interesting, as you get a little bit further here, it says in verse 20, "And of the birds and of their kinds, of animals after their kinds, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive." And then it's kind of interesting in verse 21, "And you shall take for yourself all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourselves, and it shall be food for you and for them." And again, there's a little bit of discussion as to whom them is, but I think it also includes the animals as well. Verse 22 is interesting, though. "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." And this is where the rub kind of this is where the rub comes in sometimes our lives, in Christian lives. It would sound something like this. You got a husband and wife. They really feel that the Lord is moving them into starting a new ministry. So they pray about it, they get counsel, they do a little research, and everything is saying, yes, God is in this, do this ministry. So they throw their heart and soul into this ministry, and they've done everything as God has kind of commanded them through principles and all the wise counsel and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and they do it. And they do it, and they do it excitingly, and they're throwing themselves into it, and there's nothing. There's nothing. So then you kind of, as we all do, we kind of wonder back, well, was God really in it? You know, did we do everything right? And all of a second guessing, but yeah, we're going to keep plugging away. So the next week comes around and we throw ourselves into the ministry and nothing. The next week, nothing. Or the next meeting, whenever it is, nothing. 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 And you go, whoa, something is really not right here. And then you start going through all kinds of things. Well, you know, God, we put all these resources into this and we're really working for it. You know, I thought this was your will. God, what's going on? And yet, nothing. 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 Or sometimes maybe it does get worse. You know, here again, you can craft all the scenarios, and I didn't really take the time to develop a specific one, but you know, you guys can develop a scenario. Let's make it a job. God has said that He wanted you to be involved in some sort of an entrepreneurial endeavor. So you throw yourselves into it and you give your heart and soul to it. You're praying about it. You're giving a lot of money through the tithing of the money coming in. And then everything seems to be going very well, and all of a sudden the bottom falls out. And it could be like our economy now. And all of a sudden, I mean, there's nothing. And then you start praying, God, you know, we did everything You told us to do. You know, we've been very obedient. We followed all the laws. We did all the graphics and research and all that stuff. What's going on, God? And there's just nothing. Or it could be, you know, on a more individual basis. You know, you've been serving God and you've been ministering to Him and you've been trying to grow in the grace and knowledge. And you're trying to have impact and influence on changing people's lives, and you're committed in just about every way you possibly can, and then cancer comes. And you go, whoa, God, what's this? I mean, I'm not really afraid of dying. I'm not really afraid of going to heaven, but you know, we're just getting into this. We're just getting the ball going, and I've done everything You've asked me to do. And now what's with this cancer? Or a stroke? Or, you know, you just kind of fill in the blank. God, what's with this? And then we start reading some of these promises that, you know, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I can, again, Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And yet, we just keep waiting, and nothing seems to be going. And then we go ahead and we start reading Romans 8:28-29, you know, all things work together for good to them that love God. And yet we're saying, but God, it's been 6 months and I still see no good come out of this. God, it's been, I don't know, however long a period You want to put in there, but there's no good yet that I can see out of it. Or then as we read in Ephesians where He says that God worketh all things according to the counsel of His good will. And things were okay with God's will, and everything was moving along, and we're being obedient, we're getting a lot done, and a lot's being accomplished, and now all of a sudden, man, the whole bottom of whatever has fallen out, horrible tragedy, horrible personal suffering, and yet we say, God, what's going on here? And yet day after day after day after day after day, and I'm not going to do 120 of them, but you kind of get the idea, and yet nothing's happening. And you're going, God, what is going on here? And probably there's some of us that are in very similar situations here with Noah. So we're going to explore Noah and try to make a few applications along the way. But one more time, let's go to God, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts and minds to His Word. So let's pray. So again, Father, we will just, again, to You verbalize what I just said horizontally. Again, Father, open our eyes so that we can behold, again, these beautiful words of life. Again, Father, we know there's nothing new under the sun. Solomon mentioned that. And Father, there could be some here today who've been on this boat a long time. They've been very obedient to You. They have done everything right down to the cubit. as to what you've asked for them to do, and yet they're still on this boat. And there could be some here who are getting ready to jump ship. It's like, God, I've done it. I've done exactly what you've asked me to do. I've built the boat 120 years probably in building this thing. I've got the animals. I've got food for all. We've endured the 40 days and 40 nights, and yet, God, there's no end. The waters, the storm is still raging. The cancer is still there. The economic situation is still there. What's going on, God? So if there's some here today who may be in that situation, I do pray that this would be an encouragement to them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the back of your bulletin, there is just a little bit of an outline. Again, via internet, with the emails, as Bonnie uploads these sermons on a weekly basis. I don't give you a lot because there's more avenues to get that. But more for you just to be jotting down thoughts as the Holy Spirit would press them upon you. And I would encourage you to do that. You know, many of us, have we not been laying in bed one night and this great thought has come? But, you know, being a little cooler now in the winter, we don't want to get out of our warm bed to write it down because we know we will remember it in the morning. Yeah. Well, as the Holy Spirit gives you some of these thoughts, I would encourage you to jot some of these down. I blame it on my age, but I don't know if we could all do that. As you go to chapter 6, verse 14, he starts delineating the details of the ark. And he says, I want it so wide, so high, so long, some stories, pitch it, make it out of this kind of wood, put a window in it, put a door in it. And he does all that. And in verse 19, he says, and here's also what I want you to do, you're going to bring two of every sort into the ark. So again, God brings the animals to him. It's not like he's got to run around all over that Fertile Crescent gathering these animals, but he's going to have to put them in the lower decks, the middle decks, the upper decks, and try to keep some of them grouped according to herbivores or carnivores. And, you know, we're not exactly how all that worked out, but he's got to separate them and sort them. And he does that. In verse 20, it is kind of interesting, the last couple words of that, and keep them alive. Well, I know there's the primary meaning of the boat would keep them alive, but I think there's also the idea of stewardship that Noah, you got to be responsible to these critters in the boat, and you also have to make sure that they're kept alive. You know, you can't be walking around and stepping on all these little geckos. Oops, no more Geico insurance. You know, so you're going to have to be somewhat cautious while you're on this boat, and there's an idea of stewardship. You have to help keep these animals alive. And then in verse 21, and oh, by the way, Noah, you're going to have to gather food for all of them. You, your wife, your in-laws, your sons, and the critters that be. So a tremendous task. And when you get to 6:22 on the bottom, unquestioning, unwavering obedience. Now, in our church bulletin, there is a little ministry opportunity of going down and setting up the tables and chairs for our potluck about an hour, depending upon how much help you have, hour and a half. The first Saturday of each month, so our first early Sunday of each month, because our fellowship meal is that first Sunday of the month. Yeah, I can do that. Not a big deal. But here's what Noah is basically saying. Noah is saying 120 years. And again, we've talked about this, but you know, there is no chainsaws. There's no nail guns. There may not even be any Home Depot to go buy the nails. I mean, he's probably making a lot of this by hand. And just the whole idea of a boat and of magnitude, and some of you are sending around those emails with attachments of guy in England, Netherlands, somewhere who had made a replica of this boat. Gargantuan boat. Actually, I guess it would be more of a ship classification. But he's saying, okay, I'll do this. But this is not just one Sunday a month for about an hour and a half. I mean, this is like, okay, God, my whole life as I have known it is now ceasing to existing. And now for the next up to 120 years, what's going to be is a saw, my tool bag, a square, some form of a mallet, and a bunch of bloody thumbs as we're trying to pound all this stuff together. Commitment. Unquestionable commitment. And again, sometimes God comes knocking on our door and He says, you know, I really want you to commit to, you know, whatever it is, a few times a week or at your job. And you go, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. But here's a man who just unquestionable. He is 22, it says. So Moses did it. Moses did according to all that the Lord told him to do it, and he did it. Okay, God, it's a done deal. Consider it done. You told me I'll do it. So, there could be again, you and I, as we're getting into this storm preparation, as we're preparing for the flood, we have been unquestionable in our commitment. You know, God, I'm here to the services. God, I'm involved in the ministries. God, I'm tithing. God, I'm ministering at work. I'm witnessing. I'm being a good neighbor. I'm loving those who aren't so lovable. You could just work down the whole catalog of things that the God wants us to do, which is basically, God, I love you supremely, and I'm really working on loving everyone sacrificially. And you and I have been obedient. So we get into the boat, and God shuts the door. And then we get to chapter 7, verse 11. And in chapter 7, verse 11, and those of you who like math, you can kind of do the math to figure out exactly how long Moses was on the boat, Noah was on the boat in totality, and as you're getting a hint, it's a whole lot more than 40 days and 40 nights when you start adding up the math here. But God very clearly tells us there in 11, it's the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day. By the way, they're probably operating on a lunar calendar, 30 days in a month, in case you do want to do the math. So, in that 600th year, second month, 17th day, the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. I don't know about you, but, and a little bit of speculation here, but I think if we can substantiate on just human behavior, if you're in a boat and all of a sudden all this subterranean water starts exploding upward, and the deluge of probably this thermosphere, this canopy theory, as some of you are crashing down, that might be a little frightful. I mean, that'd be a little disconcerting, considering has it rained before this has happened? It hasn't rained before, so they've never heard the beautiful little pitter-patter of rain on the roof. That'd be a scary thing. So you got all these animals, and how are these animals responding? And again, a lot of speculation. We won't spend time there. But I do believe there was the fear of the storm. I also know from a little previous experience, as we get into chapter 7 here a little bit, when the boat is rocking back and forth, in my pre-salvation years, I was able to go on to the Gulf of Mexico on an oil rig, which is very much a job that Christians really shouldn't be encouraged to be on, because there is nothing but a lot of bad guys on that oil rig. At least I was. A lot of very much hardcore criminals who were running from the law in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. They were kind of hard to find, and they had been there for years because they knew if they went back, they would be in mega trouble. But in the midst of that oil rig experience that I was working on, we had a pretty decent storm coming up. So what we did was we got on this boat, this old World War II, some decrepit bucket of rust, and we cranked up the anchor, which happened to be front and rear anchors, which were by the engine room, and we moved away, I don't know, a couple hundred yards from the boat or the oil rig, and then we dropped the anchor, and all the crustaceans that were coming in, you know, by the engine room had this nice warm kind of rotting warm fish going through the whole boat. And we had a storm that was just, I've never been in such a storm before, but I don't have a large seafaring experience. But I know for one thing that oil rig looked like it was going like this. And the oil rig was fastened to the bottom of the ocean, so I know it wasn't doing this, but it was us. And I got sick like I've never been sick before or since. And it was a horrible experience. And when you get down there to the boat riding on the waters, as you see there in chapter 7, verse 18, and the ark moved about on the surface of the water, they're getting sick. They've never been on the sea before. So here you've got these men, these women, and I wonder what the animals are doing. And again, just some sort of speculation here, but there's the experience of motion sickness. So you've got the fear of the storm as it is crashing down on them. You've got the physical illness. And again, there's no railings. And just What a mess that really was, and just aggravating and just accentuating the whole horrible experience. And then on part of that, you're kind of following along with the notes. As you hear the rain and as you feel the boat jostling, you also then have this mental horrific picture of going on that it's true. Everything is dead. Everything is dead. Every man, every woman, every little Bambi, every little lamb. I mean, everything is dead. There's nothing yet alive. And for me, that would take a little while to process. You know, all my relatives, you know, the mayor, you know, the president, you know, the banker, they're all dead. And any other relatives that I had, they're all dead. And my neighbor who lived next door, they're all dead. And the guy who sold me that timber, they're all dead. I mean, every single person is dead. And all the animals that are not in the boat are all dead. And the trauma of the storm is a terrible thing. And then as I'm referencing there back in chapter 6, verse 20, and by the way, Moses, you still got to take care of the animals. You got to keep them alive. And when you and I get into this situation, we look forward to the end. You know, some of you are saying, yeah, well, you know, I've only got 4 or 5 more months of school and then I graduate. You know, as soon as May comes around and I'll be done. So I can put up with my roommates one more last semester. I can put up with that science teacher, that math teacher. He is the worst teacher in the world, but I can take one more class because then I'm done. And I think here there's some anticipation of the end. We only have to do this. God said it was going to rain how long? 40 days, 40 nights. We can do this. You know, buck up, suck it up, quit complaining. It's just 40 days and 40 nights. We can do this. Take care of the animals. It's not a big deal. And it may be true with us. It could be that you and I right now are in a horrific storm. And again, I don't want to try to marginalize that. It could be that death is surrounding you. Sickness is all about. And it also could be that it not only is in the midst of the storm, but there is that ever relentless energy sapping cares and concerns of life that you still have to operate in. And many of you women and mothers especially know exactly what we're talking about. If you get sick, you guys just get to go lay in bed and say, okay, honey, take care of the kids. Kids, take care of yourself. No, most of you are shaking no. A few of the guys are honestly saying no. It's like, honey, I don't care if you're sick. You know, the kids still have to be changed and dressed and educated and put on the bus. By the way, I'm going to work. Hope you have a good day. Hope you feel better. I'll see you later. Or, you know, we both come back and because you're sick, I'll pick the kids up at grandparents or the daycare. But some of you can experience, and even some of your jobs. Some of you, if you call in sick, does the work just go away? It's there. So even in your sickness, you still are demanded to go in and do the work. And just the ever energy sapping cares and duties of life. And then we get to the duration of the flood. And that's where we get, and that's where many of us may be right now in chapter 7, verse 24. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Now, if we're looking at a 30-day calendar, how many months is that? 3 times 5 is 15, 150 days. So that would be middle of January to middle of February, March, April, May, June, right? So it's like, you know, here we are in our stage of life. You know, soon as school starts, we'll all go away. You know, as soon as we get the kids off to school, you know, life will begin and the storm will end or whatever, but it doesn't. And now you're going to be stuck till January, February, March, April, May. You know, and you can really start to appreciate what could be going on in the minds of Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know, we're into 60 days in this thing. Hey, God, what happened to the 40 days and 40 nights? We're into 70 days here. Man, those animals, they are really starting to stink. And you know what? I'm really getting tired of this motion sickness. Because, you know, the least little wave, you know, and some of you when you get sick, you know, just the various smells and aromas, it just kind of sends you. I'm getting tired of this, God. And then we start thinking back. Now, wait a minute, God. You told me to build this boat. This is of your design. This is of your accord. You know, and you told us that we were going to bring the animals in. And God, we thought you were in this. And now the 40 days are long gone. And now we're into 75 and 80 days. God, what's going on? Where are you, God? And we can just go on and on and on. So as we've seen the duration of the flood, there's absolutely the disappointment of no quick departure. And you and I, we've all been here. God, take this pain away. God, take this sickness away. God, take this debt away. God, give me a better job. God, if you would just mix this up a little bit in your side, you know, if you just fix my husband, life would be good. I mean, we're into 70, well, we can't go 70 years, but you know, we're well into beyond 70 days in this marriage, and he's not changing. You know, God, you know, these kids, you know, God, my wife, God, my neighbor's dog, or whatever silliness or seriousness you want to put in there, and you're saying, God, I thought that you'd supply all my needs. God, I thought this was going to work out for good. God, I thought, you know, if we could pray in faith, believing that it would happen. And we've been praying, and I've been believing as hard as I can, and yet, God, there's been no release. There's no been relief. There's not been any relief either. So, God, what's going on? And there's just that disappointment of no quick departure. But then I believe there's also some doubt. The only thing they were operating on, again, was the 40 days, 40 nights. So now we're into 100 days of this. And I think they're beginning to doubt, like, how much longer am I going to be able to endure? How long before this is over? You know, we've gone double now. We're up to 80 days and 80 nights. How much longer, God? And again, just the doubt that could be just going on with any number of ideas of you know, and you could hear, you know, maybe Noah's wife, hey, Noah, this is your doing. And I ain't going down there with those animals anymore. This is crazy. You told me it would be just 40 days for it. I ain't going down there. And Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you know, maybe a little bit of a mutiny there, you know. Who knows what's going on? But I ain't taking care of those elephants. I'm not taking care of those animals. I'm not taking care of the herbivores or the birds. Those creepy things are driving me nuts. They're creeping all over the place. How much longer have we got to do this? And again, you can, you know, identify or think of people that could very much identify this with their health, with their relationships, with their finances, with their children. Here's one, aging parents. Here's another one with sick and health, loved ones that need constant, continual care. How long are we going to do this? You know, we were kind of thinking this would be shorter, God, but how long? God hadn't told them yet. They just knew like he was way overdue. And then I think there's also, as I mentioned just a little bit, and a little bit of jest, but there's still the demands of the animals. You still have to keep them alive. You still brought in all that food. And again, just the constant, continual, chronic demands of life. And I think, again, it could be very true with you and I. It's not just the storms per se. But in addition to the storms, there's still all the demands of life. The animals, you know, the boat, the interpersonal relationships, your own relationship. There's still just, again, the disappointment of another day on the boat. Another day on the boat. Another day on the boat. Now, let's stress that a little bit. As you get a little bit further down there in verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1, he said then that God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. Hoo-hoo, they get to get out. Did they? No. Go down to verse 4. And the ark rested on the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th day of the first day of the month, the mountaintops were seen. All right, yay, we get to go out, right? No, not so. So verse 7, he sends the ravens out. He sends out a dove. You go a little bit further, verse 9, the dove didn't find any resting place. He comes back, verse 10. Yet he waited another 7 days, and he sent out the dove again. And then the dove came to him in the evening. Behold, he's got this fresh plucked olive leaf. Hoo-hoo, we get to go out now. No. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return to him anymore. So we're saying, all right, this is great. We get to get out. Because chapter 13, verse 13 says, in the first month, the first day, the waters were dried up on the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and the surface of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Man, this is a long time. This is a long time. But here's what I want to... You know, here's the point I want to try drive home to you today. You're going through the Scriptures. You're trying to live an obedient life. You're doing all that the Lord has commanded to you. And trials beyond your comprehension have come your way. And you're starting to read some of these promises of Scripture, which are true. But they're not falling within your time frame. And you're saying, God, you know, I thought we'd be done with this already. You know, I've done my round of chemo. I've done my round of radiation. God, we should be done with this. But it's not happening. And the time just continues to go and continues to go and continues to go. And you can never let go, though, of chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. And God came through on His time schedule and delivered His people, promised that covenant with the rainbow, and it all worked out for good in the end. So, here's our application to you and I. You know, someone said it this way, and I don't remember, but someone just recently said, you know, when God opens a door or shuts a door, sometimes God opens the other door. And I don't remember who said, but they said, you know what they forgot to say was sometimes there's the hallway in between. And unfortunately, this was a long hallway. This was a long hallway. Because again, after the 150 days, then we've got these 7 day periods. So, there may be a closed door, and you're waiting for an open door, but there's still that hallway that you need to go in. So regardless if it's a ministry issue, a personal issue, a physical issue, a financial issue, a relational issue, did I miss anything else? About covers it. Just don't forget that God still remembers you. And there is a purpose and there's a plan in it. And you're thinking back here in Genesis 8. Well, what purpose was it for God to like make this thing stretch out so long? Why couldn't it have just been 40 days, 40 nights? If He supernaturally flooded the earth, couldn't He supernaturally dry the earth? I mean, like God had to wait for evaporation and, you know, filtering and saturation of the earth and all that kind of stuff. Could have dried it like that. Well, what's one of the reasons why it went on so long? And you and I were just exposed to it. To encourage us. One of the reasons that Noah went through this whole ordeal, as Hebrews says in some of the other passages of Scripture, was the things that were written beforehand were written for what? For our benefit. So one of the reasons for this prolonged period, if for no other reason, was to benefit you and I to say, don't jump off the ship. Don't mutiny. Don't abandon ship. If you stay true to God, He will remember you. May not be in our time frame, and that's usually where the rub comes in. You know, God, I'll give. I'll give for this long. You know, God, I'll serve, and I'll serve for this long. You know, God, one round of chemo, yeah, I can do that. But I'm not doing two. I'm not serving 2 years. I'm not doing this. And we set the timelines, and when God doesn't come through, then we start wondering. But don't ever wonder. God will remember you just like He remembered Noah. Okay, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.